You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
Do what you would like to your own passion and for your time. And so let's see, what was the last of that question?
Is doing group training now meaningful?
It's not as much as it was before, but always looking out for opportunities. I'm doing a webinar next week with my manufacturing group, or with the export trade group that's associated with this. And we could have clients all across the country coming on that webinar. And I have done some GoToMeeting.coms that are proving very, very effective. We just put our PowerPoint presentation up on that screen and they can see it. And so we may be having some more group opportunities come that way.
Richard, in the DVD training, you talk about government training funds that are available for training. Where would I go about finding out about sources of funds where government funds might be available for students of my HMA training? Are these funds federal, state, or local?
Where I've seen the funds come from is the Small Business Development Center, the state's Economic Business Development Department, and it's usually coming through some of these workshop groups like the Small Business Development Center. The Chambers of Commerce organizations are the ones that usually know where these monies are. So I would go there. There's local and state economic developments that have training funds for businesses to train their employees. But usually it's these third-party groups that know where all of those are.
Other than marketing systems, what type of systems do you find customers have a need and budget for? In the training DVDs, you mention operation systems are in demand. I'm trying to determine who I might want to partner with, if I might also want to invest in another system in a different area that I could also offer to my clients.
Well, kind of a natural association occurred for me 5 or 6, 7 years ago with this manufacturing extension partnership. They go in and they implement lean manufacturing systems. So they are more focused on manufacturers, of course, and they implement lean. And so I've, of course, gotten closely associated with that system, a process system and a floor manufacturing system. There are employee training systems out there. There are employee training groups, and that might be another place to align yourself with groups that implement employee training systems. And I haven't had too much demand coming for other systems because I've stayed focused on the marketing to become very good at that.
Can you give a case study where you were not successful in generating the promised growth for a company and why that was? Please don't mention failure to better qualify the customer up front, as I've already learned that mistake from my own rough experience.
Oh, sure. There have been clients that have paid me for 3 or 4 marketing steps, and we have not had the success we would have liked. Now, here's the good thing about all that, is that I did everything I said I would do. What then becomes clear is they see that they did not do what they needed to do, and then the story is over, and we move on. I just can't tell you how important the most important thing is, and that is once you have a USP, you have got to have an owner and a sales staff dedicated to selling it. If they aren't on board, and if they aren't passionately behind the new USP that you just created, then you're dead. I can't say it any more simpler than that. So I'm getting bolder, and I would recommend to all of you to become bolder quicker in upfront indicating that that's the key to the success. I'm going to see a client this afternoon after this call who is at that very risk, that if we don't have the salesman and or the owner step up and sell the USP, we're dead. If they'll do what you ask them to do in step 2, which is sell the USP, you'll win. I've never had a case where when the client has taken the USP and has successfully moved it through their systems of salespeople, that we win.
Talking with some of my consulting friends, they all had different types of insurance, such as errors and omission insurance, and stressed they wouldn't do business without it. What type of consulting-related insurance do you recommend I purchase to protect myself?
I've not had the insurance coverage, so I can't give you that much help on that question. I have not had any kind of lawsuit or a legal problem in 20 years. I'd recommend that if you are in an area where you feel that might be of a concern, to check with your insurance agent on some protection. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea as we move on in these years of more litigation. I just haven't had a problem in 20 years.
How are you handling non-compete requests from your potential customers? In general, what do you think is fair to both me and the client?
That is a good question, and there have been cases where the client has asked me, okay, now if we work with you, we want to make sure you're not going to work with our competitors. So I've treated that all on a case-by-case basis, and if I felt like I wanted to give them some exclusive for the contract, I might raise my fee a little bit, and I've done that. Or I would say something like the following. You know, Mr. Customer, I can appreciate your concern on that. Generally, what we found is it's not really a big deal. You'll notice that this marketing we're going to do is very quiet. We're not going to be running ads. We're not going to be doing a big, boisterous radio campaign that's going to get your marketing out there so your competitors hear it and see it. You'll notice we're going to be mostly working quietly with your customer base, with your salespeople, with your own company that does your printing. So, you know, Mr. Client, I just wouldn't worry about it. Even if I ended up working with a couple of your competitors, it's such an internal thing. It's such an individualized marketing system. I just wouldn't worry about it if I were you.
Richard, you said on your DVD training, good luck getting CPAs to refer you work, with a little bit of sarcasm and a big smile. Have you found CPAs not to be a good referral resource? If not, why? I was thinking about approaching CPAs, lawyers, and insurance people because they are trusted advisors of small business owners. What do you think about approaching lawyers and insurance people for referrals and endorsements?
Hey, thanks for the question, because there's been a little turnaround in my attitude, and I'm not as sarcastic anymore on that. And that's because CPAs are hurting right now. They need help. Back when you referred to, they were going great, had all the business in the world. They were just collecting fees like you wouldn't believe. And so there was no need for any kind of relationship. And that's what created some of that sarcasm that I had years ago, but it's different now. And in fact, I'll tell you a personal case study. About 10 years ago, I ran into a CPA company or an accounting firm. They hired me. I think I charged them $500 a step. It was ridiculous. We created a payroll division within the accounting firm. Well, I go my way, they go their ways. 10 years later, I give them a call, just out of the blue. I wanted to find out how they were doing. I wanted to see if we could form a marketing relationship. He says, Richard, he said, we've sold our payroll division and made a ton of money. And so, yeah, we're ready. We're losing business clients in this environment. We're losing fees. And so they hired me to start working with their marketing. Did a workshop for their clients and picked up some clients just a month or so ago. So they're back on the board because of the need. So again, as you look at these relationships, one day may be different from the next. And that's why you never stop in approaching them and seeing if they want to work with you.
Richard, how often do you run into potential clients that give the objection, I don't have any experience in their specific field?
It just doesn't matter, Mr. Business Owner. We've been doing this for 20 years, and this has been in every industry, manufacturing, retail, service, professionals, wholesale, and we've been successful. And we can give you some testimonials from almost every of those industries. How many do you want? So I appreciate your concern, but the marketing principles transcend any single industry or business.
Richard, you said you were in a bad slump at one time in the past. You weren't finding customers and your closing ratio dropped to just 10%. In general, what types of economy do you find to be the best economy for HMA consultants? Is it in a good economy when things are booming, or is it in a bad economy when businesses are desperate for business growth?
I have to reject the premise of the question, and that is that my closing rate was a result of the economy. It was a result of attitude. I just want to say that in my own personal situation, I'll double or triple my income in the next 4 or 5 months based on attitude and where I'm going to find clients. And in the 20 years, there's been 2 or 3 recessions, and I've just not ever been affected by the economy unless I let it affect my attitude. So I just recommend to you that you not worry about it. I'd recommend more okay, we have a different situation in reality out there, but just like I found with this CPA group, what other industries might now be looking for help that were not looking for help when times were good? And that's where I'm finding my success, is going to groups that said no to me when the times were good. And now they're saying, Richard, we need your help. Come and help us. So it really is attitude rather than the situation we're in.
In the core four, how much do you find you need to get involved in the client's accounting books to get accurate numbers to form a baseline and to track the results you generate? In general, do you find customers open with their books or very guarded? If the answer is guarded, how do you work around that issue?
Yeah, the answer is guarded, except for the three numbers that I described earlier. They're not going to be guarded about how many prospects we're contacting. They're not going to be guarded about conversion rate. They're not going to be guarded about average sale and lifetime value of a client. So those are the tracking numbers to form your baseline, and I've just never had clients put up a guard regarding those numbers.
In a previous audio interview with Michael, you were quite negative on using the HMA system to do work not at the place of the customer. Could you give more detail as to why you were negative? In my situation, it might be a requirement that I cannot conduct work at the client's site, and I must remain in my home. If this is the case, can you please give me your idea on how I might recognize or change the HMA system to have the best chance for success?
Well, I'm excited to let you know that I evolve, that as I execute my consulting practice, I'm learning how to do more from home. And so I would certainly encourage something like GoToMeeting.com, where you can conduct a sales presentation, you could conduct a service conference call all over the web and use your screen or not, or just a phone. So I'm learning how to do that more and would recommend that many of your clients might just be fine to go that way. Now, I am learning as that I do this that in moving the client from one step to the next might be a little tougher if they've never seen you. And so I'm not going to say that you could execute all four flawlessly. You might lose maybe a few more clients than you would have kept by being in their face. And simply because you get a chance to sell you and who you are, and you build that relationship, which we all know can be very important. So hang tight. As people get more experience using web and the conference facilities out there, I think you'll see you could do more from home.
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. In the DVDs, you are using the phrase, I can grow your business 25 to 100% with no additional marketing cost. Are these numbers with the assumption the customer does all 7 or 8 steps or just by doing the core four?
Just core four.
You say you're closing 30 to 40% of the people you take through the opportunity analysis. What are the common objections you are hearing from the 60 to 70% who don't buy?
There are two most common objections. One is an attitude problem. So the 60 to 70% who don't buy, it's never an issue of, Richard, I don't think you can do it, or I don't believe in what you're saying. That's never been an objection. It's been, I think I'm okay. I think I'm doing fine. I think I can do this as good as you can. I think that we'll be just okay. In fact, I think I'd still like to go boating Friday and Saturday, so I don't know that I really want to grow my business much more than where it's at. And so those are the common objections in the 60 to 70%, which gets back to, I might have qualified very well, and the guy said, yeah, I want to grow my business. I get out there, and then he pulls this attitude on me, and it's mostly because they just want to see what you got and see what they can get free and see if there's anything that they might be missing.
In the DVD training, you stated the biggest changes you had seen in the field was that it was now all about implementation and not just delivering content. What are the biggest changes you've seen now that another 4 years have passed?
It's still very, very strong on execution. I would not back away from that being still a critical, critical reason to buy your services. The owners I'm working with on a regular basis, they just appreciate so much a refreshing approach to execution. So that's still pretty strong. Where I'd see a change in the last 4 years in the system, I'd see again more and more people that are wanting internet help. That's number one. Number two is the USP. There's a good book, I don't know if I mentioned it in the training, but it's called How to Grow When Markets Don't by Adrian Slawatsky and Richard Wise. That has been a key training manual for me because we've moved the USPs away from, you know, 5-10 years ago, you could still get a good guarantee as a USP, and sometimes that's okay now, but today almost everybody guarantees everything. And we're doing a lot more of what I call innovative research, innovative demand, where the USP is turning the demand away from products and turning the demand towards service, like Domino's did 20 years ago. You could refer to that case as a very good innovative demand case, where if they were going to try to compete with Pizza Hut and the demand for pizza, they knew they would lose. So they came out and changed the demand to speed in 30 minutes, and they won. Well, now every pizza in the world can come to you in 30 minutes or less, so it's not a USP right now. But it's still a change of innovating the demand, and that book will describe much of that for you.
Richard, you always mention manufacturing and retail customers as being the best fit for the HMA system. Can you go into the strengths and weaknesses of having professional clients in service business clients?
Part of the answer to that is the fact that most of my last 7 years or so has been manufacturing heavily that way. Retail is still the strongest because really all the steps can apply. But we've had great success with professionals and service clients. So I just don't want to say there's one better than another. They're all good.
This may be a fine point, but how would you recommend an HMA consultant position his business name? I don't want to use my own name because ultimately I would like to have a business that I can easily sell, and a business with my name is not easy to sell. I was thinking of various names with the word marketing in it, but my friends keep saying companies don't want marketing, they want business growth or ultimately profits, and one of those words should be in the business name. Any feedback?
You know, I really don't have any strong preference and feedback on this question. I've just seen success come from all quarters. If that wasn't the case, then I'd have some strong feelings about one or the other. But, you know, you look at Dan Kennedy, and he's used his name successfully. Jay Abraham, his name. But then you've got companies like 21st Century Marketing that haven't always associated with a name. So it's gone back and forth, and it's been working both ways. And I know consultants have both. I know we have HMA consultants using their name. I know we have HMA consultants using a business. And we just, I think, learned that both work fine.
Other than traditional media salesmen, what type of competitors do you find yourself running into, even if it's just someone competing for the same budget pool?
Yeah, other than media. Media probably still remains the biggest competitor because they're now including internet in that. So going for the budget, they still have those same big guerrilla competitors. Other than that, the only competition has been consultants that really focus on one part of the system, like direct mail or copywriting or ad copywriting or internet marketing consulting. So they've taken one part of the system and focused on it. That's really been the only other competition we've run up against.
2.5 years ago in the HMA conference calls, you mentioned Dell and IBM had the HMA system on their e-learning platform. Is this still the case, and how should the wording be if we were to mention this to a client?
It is still the case. And the wording would be something like, this is the marketing system used by Dell and select IBM channel partners in their online learning management courses.
Richard, what kind of info products and what topics do you suggest an HMA consultant could write and publish to promote his own marketing business? Should it be topics outside of the pillars in the system or directly related?
I think you could do directly related, and I would go for something that you might have a little experience in or you might have a little passion about. So I wouldn't be afraid to take anything that's part of the system and or good marketing advice outside of the system, which there's very little, because our system really, if you take all 8 steps of our system in the HMA system, it covers every single aspect of marketing. So there's a lot of content that you could go into on any one of those steps and start creating some free reports.
Hi, Richard. I'm currently cold calling for most of my clients, as I won't be launching my JV and alliance deals until next month in September. It seems most of the interested prospects are in distress or in startup mode. I know your position on new companies, and I've walked away from a couple just to stay on the safe side. I did take one on due to the upside of the opportunity in a lucrative contingency deal. Another client is cash-strapped but has a solid 10-plus year track record and an incredible database. We're working out the terms currently, and my initial offer was to hold firm on the $2,500 per step but allow the marketing-savvy partner work on the USP and save the $2,500. I will then be getting the $2,500-plus, insisting he redo his horrendous website, which yields me a nice profit. Again, I'm looking at a good margin off of the rich database he has, and I'm 99% sure it's a gold mine and will pay off handsomely. My question is this. Am I crazy to be taking these kinds of deals when just starting out, or is this common until business builds and reputation, referrals, and confidence yields better opportunities? If I'm allowed a second question, aside from your manufacturing alliances, how are you finding your telemarketing sales are going? I guess my question is, if there is a disparity between your telemarketing sales and your alliance sales in dollar volume and or successes, Jamie Syracuse, 30-day HMA consultant, Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Wow. Congratulations, Jamie. You're doing exactly what we all have to do, and that is do what the client would like us to do if we can. You're testing different things. You're testing different approaches. You're testing different price levels. Early on, when I was starting, I latched on to startups. I took them on at lower fees just so I could get going. The startup recommendation was simply given because they mostly don't have money, but if they've got it and you know you're going to collect it, then yeah, help them build their business, help them begin their business with the system. So congratulations, you're just doing exactly what all consultants need to do, and that is test and go where the clients are going to take you. I just haven't had any telemarketing clients in 7 or 8, 9 years, so I can't really address that as well as I'd like to. And I think the answer there is to continue to test and use them. And I will say this, I just never believed that a telemarketer is an unprofitable way to get business. It never was unprofitable for me. Because if you think about it, they get you one client, let's say you even pay them $100 an appointment, which is pretty rich, $150 an appointment. Well, if you close one out of four appointments at $2,500 a close for four steps, that's 10 grand, and you may be paid $500 for the five appointments. So I'd stay on it. I'd stay with it. I'd keep hammering it. I'd keep testing it and making the changes you need.
Here's a question from Carl. Richard, how would I use the HMA system to start a marketing business part-time? How can I use the system to do consulting via the telephone as opposed to doing everything in person?
Yeah, I've addressed a little bit on the phone with these meeting resources that you could try. So GoToMeeting.com is one I use, and I'm using more and more of it. And there's others, though, that are out there that you can use. Web.com, I think WebEx is another one. Webinar is another one. So you could check into many of those. And I think we're in an era where folks are going to be okay with using those tools more and generating your income by that more and more. I know I will over the next few years. I see more and more of my income coming that way. So what you're going to find is that prospects and clients will do what you want them to do. If you are hesitant or you say, now, Mr. Client, do you want to meet face-to-face or do you want to do it long distance? If you give them too many options, then you might get confused and not know how to run your practice. So if your desire is to do this without seeing clients, then begin doing it that way. And you'll begin to see who will pay and who won't pay. You'll begin to see how much they'll pay and how much they won't pay. And you'll begin to make a determination if it can be a viable way for you. So pursue it and run your consulting practice how you'd like to run it.
Okay, another question from Clayton. Other than the opportunity analysis, are there any other documents, testimonials, presentation material, etc., that you take to the first and second meeting with a new prospective client?
You know, you could abbreviate the opportunity analysis and maybe just give them like the core four and go through a few questions. That way you could maybe drop it off and then pick it up. I used an abbreviated one early in my career, and it was a great qualifier, because if I dropped it off and they didn't fill it out, I knew we didn't probably have a prospect. The opportunity analysis is a little too long probably to drop off and see if they'll fill it out, although you could. But maybe just take the first four and abbreviate it into a little shorter analysis and say, listen, I'm just going to drop this off, or I'm going to have a first meeting with these first four.
Richard, how do you put together a contingency deal? I have a potential client that I'm comfortable with. I see the potential for growth. I have the time available and need to generate some income. What should be the offer? What percentage? Should it be off the profit or the gross increase? And how do you map out the payments?
Well, it's worked in all of those ways. So, again, you're back to what you want to do as the consultant, and that's primarily going to be based on what the client is most comfortable with. So I've been paid contingency off revenue. I've been paid contingency off net profit. It just depends on what you and the client come to agree to. And again, the most important thing is, yeah, how are we going to track this? And so you've got to make sure your contingency deal is probably something he's not done before. So don't connect it with any kind of current campaign, you know. That's then going to be hard to extract your performance. So try to find things that are going to be new, they're going to be direct marketing oriented, so you know the response in that way, and then your payment structure could be, yeah, you could do it every week, you could do it every month, every quarter, however you kind of work out where the payment's going to come from. You know, with technology as efficient and inexpensive as it is today, one idea that's probably most important is you controlling the flow of the leads and you being able to control the tracking of those leads. Because if those leads are going into someone on their staff, you're kind of out of control. So what you can do is set up a 1-800 number that you control, that you set up. You can set up your own URL that if you are directing web traffic there, that you can control. So you want a client partner that's willing to let you kind of do those things so that he understands we're wanting to be fair in the compensation.
Richard, do you think the HMA system is flexible enough to be either a front-end or a back-end solution? Examples, use the HMA system to gain a client and then sell him copywriting services and info products and other services, or use something like website consulting as a lead-in and then use the HMA system as a back-end product.
That's a great question, and the system is built that you could do either. Of course, I've always used the system as a front-end introduction, but then we know that from that, consultants have turned a focus to copywriting or web consulting or direct marketing consulting or database management or ad agency fulfillment. I mean, it's such a huge umbrella that we want you to be able to go where you want to go as the consultant. We don't want to prescribe for you how you use the system. And so if you find new ways to use it as a front end or a back end, just go with where your heart takes you.
Richard, what are your best qualifying questions to find out if you have a good prospect or not? This is from Joe Ryan.
Best qualifying questions as to whether I have a good prospect or not. A couple of categories are, number one, does he have the ability to pay? And number two, does he want and need my service? Those are two big ones. And then under those are some other ones. One is he ready and wanting to grow now? And that comes back to an attitude issue I referred to earlier. If he wants help, if he feels he needs help, that's a huge qualifier. If his attitude is not, that's a huge indicator. I always qualify on price. I'll say something like, now this project might range anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 a month per step. Is that something that you can handle, or is that going to hurt the business? I get an answer. If there's some hesitancy, I'll say something like, well, you know, tell me where you're spending monies right now. How much annually do you spend on advertising and marketing? And they'll usually give me a figure, and then I'll say, well, what a lot of companies do is just reallocate some of those dollars to this system for a few months. Does that make sense? Oh, yeah, we could do that. I could maybe stop running some ads for a few months, you know, and they begin to find ways to just simply reallocate dollars over. So those are the big ones. Do they have and they need and they want my service? And number two, can they pay for it? And number three, are they ready to move forward right now? And if the answer to any of those are no, yeah, you probably don't have a good prospect. We want to express our appreciation for your excitement about this system. It's now been out in the field executing for 20 years, and it's proven. You couldn't have had a better opportunity, especially in this downturn economy. A, it's probably great to leave what you were doing because maybe you weren't getting enough money. So B, you can now work from home. You can work in an office. Doesn't matter. You can work long distance. You can work locally. There's no overhead in this business. Everything you generate is almost all going to you. So it's a great opportunity for the future. And the toughest part is the beginning. That's why we're trying in these questions to help you start quicker. And the best way is to look at your own marketing assets. In other words, take an opportunity analysis to yourself and see where your assets are. Both Michael and I would be happy to do that with any one of you who might want us to just chat with you personally and see what your assets are and where we might see the biggest opportunities, just like you would do a client. So conduct one with yourself. And when you see assets that you have that you could lead to new clients, go that way rather than the cold calling. That's what we're encouraging you to do. So hang in there. Stay with it. It's a great opportunity. I'm just having more fun every day. And I get more excited every day as I talk to prospects and clients and deliver this kind of value. It's such high value to what they have as an alternative out there. What are their alternatives? Some ad agency that's going to want huge retainers and deliver nothing. And they're upset over that. Now they're upset with these web consultants that have taken $50,000 and delivered nothing. So we just have a real good niche out there, and as an HMA consultant, it's only going to grow. It's only going to get better, and it's only going to get bigger for you. So thanks, and stay on it. We want you to know that both Michael and I are here to help you, and you can go to his site. You can go to AskRichardJohnson.com and submit new questions. We'll always be looking for questions, and when we get a bunch like we just did, then we'll conduct another call like this and answer them for you. So just want you to know that the help is there for you.
That's the end of this question and answer session with Richard Johnson. I hope it's been helpful. For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.